The start of the 2020 Rutgers football season is here. Welcome, everybody, to the Rutgers Football Podcast, brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. I'm Chris Carlin, and he, of course, is Eric LeGrand. And E, we have finally gotten to game week. It has been a challenge to get here for everybody, but it's awesome to get the chance to talk about the first game and Coach Chiano's return. I know you're excited.
I really am, Chris. You know, you think about it. When the season first started, just in college football in general, I wasn't as giddy because I knew Rutgers wasn't playing every Saturday. And I'm like, you know, it's cool to see football back. But to know that now we're finally here, these past 2 weeks have been so long, just like, oh my God, like, all right, it's coming up. And now we're finally here in game weekend. We get to see Coach Chiano back on the banks of the old Raritan Inn. Get to see this squad go out there. I know on the road this week, but our team is finally back, and it's just exciting again.
You know, being around the program as much as you are, but it's been difficult, obviously, in coming months, in the recent months, rather, to do that. And talking to Coach and talking to people around the program, what's got you excited about starting this season and about getting going with the Chiano part two, if we'll call it, or Chiano 2.0.
Yeah, you know, some of the terminology may have changed. Instead of, you know, trust, belief, accountability, to now family, trust, job, it's still the same things that we were taught when we were there. The same things that these players are going through now. I know exactly what they're going through. I've been there before. I've done it, and I've seen the change, and I've seen the growth from when someone comes in there at 18 years old. And when they leave at 22 years old, I keep on telling people, these players deserve it. They get 3, 4, 5 years. They go to a university of their choice, and they chose to come to Rutgers. They deserve to have a coach that's going to push them, that's going to drive them to be the absolute best that they can be, and that's going to share values with them that's going to last a lifetime. And that's what I'm most excited about now, that's back here.
I'm very interested to see what this all is going to look like. Early in the season so far, around the country, we've seen games that you'd never expect to have happen. And you would believe that that has a lot to do with what's gone on, the limited practice time. Some schools had spring practice, some didn't. Some had abbreviated time. Eric, without all of the reps on the field, what, I don't want to say concerns you, but what do you look at in terms of the effects of that?
Usually when it comes to that, it's always going to be, especially in defense, is tackling. You do need to practice tackling. We know the Scarlet Knights have had, you know, some troubles tackling in the past. And now when you get the equipment, you want to get, you know, get as much tackling as you can in, but you also want to keep your guys fresh. So those reps that they have to go through on air when they're not actually fully tackling, they have to be so now tuned in minute to the exact technique that you're supposed to do, even though you may not be hitting or driving the guy through the ground every single time. So that's going to be a little bit concerning in the very beginning. I'm sure Coach Chiano, you know, he's had, you know, these guys prepared for whatever they throw their way, we're going to be prepared for. But when you get out there and start playing against another team, you know, tackling is probably going to be enough. My number one concern in the beginning, but I'm sure that tackling circuit has been run through and through now for this time period that they've had being able to have equipment.
Eric, you know, we've got so many new faces here, and we're going to talk to one of them here in just a little bit, in safety Brendan White, a guy who transferred in, but a lot of transfers that have joined the program. And Coach very much had a plan going in of guys that he knew he could attract here. So what are those players in for in terms of the adjustment? Brendan doesn't have it as much, as we'll talk about with him in a bit, because he played for Coach at Ohio State. But for everybody else, what advice would you give them as they're getting ready for the season?
Well, for them, at least they've been in a college program before, so they understand the demands of the season. The biggest thing I would say for them now is be ready to up that level to another notch when it comes to Coach Chiano, because as I keep on saying and harping on, he demands the best out of you. That's not just only on the football field, that's practice, weight room, training sessions. So best be ready to know that, yes, you're getting a new start, a new opportunity. And I hope that they take this to know, you know, I have another opportunity to prove myself. I'm going to go out there and give it my all, because each and every day, they're going to be looked up as leaders because they've been in other programs before. They know what it's like. And they're going to be leading by example and showing these other younger guys that, you know what, I transferred here, I had another start, but this is what I have to prove myself for. And I'm hoping that they'll be able to reiterate that to the younger guys on how to bring your best each and every day, and that we have another opportunity to do this together as a family at Rutgers.
New coaching staff in place, as we know, and we also know that there's a lot of familiar faces on it from former players who are on it. There's also a couple of former coaches. Joe Susan is back. Rob Smith is back. Jim Panagos is back, among others. But, you know, you've got a couple of coordinators here with Rob, who's done it at a high level here at Rutgers before. And also, you've got Sean Gleason, who is a guy that is heavily sought after, somebody that knows New Jersey, but has been other places, and somebody that is innovative offensively. What has you excited on both sides of the ball here to see the style?
It's good to see Smitty back. That's Rob. Smitty, that's my guy right there. He was my special teams coach when I was here. And, you know, also learning the defense, and he knows the defense that Shiano and Coach Frazier put out there. He knows the ins and outs of it. He knows exactly what to expect. And I know when it comes on Saturdays, he'll be able to call great plays and have all the players in the right position, with guidance from Coach Shiano and Coach Frazier on exactly what they need to be in certain situations. And then Coach Gleason, you hear he's like this mastermind guru, you know, behind the scenes guy that's going to be able to spark some light in this offense, you know, get some weapons out there, use the weapons that we already have, like Isaiah Pacheco and, you know, Bo Melton. And you see how Coach Shiano said he wants to spread that field wide and long. So that gets you excited because you got a guy now who has coached, you know, at Princeton, then he went down to Oklahoma State. And you know how at Oklahoma State, how they spread that ball out and they throw it all over the place. Well, now we get to see a little bit of that here at Rutgers, and we're dying for just to be able to have a pulse on offense. So that just gets you excited knowing that you have kind of like a mastermind guy behind it.
And you've got speed. Aaron Cruikshank comes over from Wisconsin. That's a guy with second team All Big Ten as a returner. He could add a lot in special teams, but in addition, at receiver as well. And when you talk about spreading out the offense with Pacheco, with guys like Matt Alimo, who developed as a tight end last year, Shamin Jones, some guys that can do some damage when you get them into some open space.
Exactly. As you just mentioned, the speed to get them into open space is just, it's huge. And knowing that you can throw either little pop screens or 5-yard slants, and these guys have the potential to, you get a man-on-man, one-on-one coverage, and if somebody's bringing a blitz, you get them one-on-one and get a little slant. They can take you to the house just like that if they get a little bit of separation. So knowing that you have that will open up so much in the, either in the run game, you know, in the screen game, the option game, it just helps so much. And, you know, between the quarterback battle ways, whether it's going to be Noah or Art, you know, going back and forth, it just allows them so much more, you know, options to keep them confident, knowing that they have guys that they can trust.
And two guys who have played a good amount of football, to be sure. And on the defensive side, you've got a lot of experience in the secondary. Trey Avery, Avery Young, Christian Izian, who played quite a bit last season. Now Brandon White added to that as well, played in 29 games at Ohio State. So these are all guys that have been out there before, and there is no substitute for experience.
Absolutely. And these guys get to now learn under Coach Shiano. Let's just say Coach Shiano is a little bit of a DB guru. If you look over the past years, some of the guys that he has coached up and turned into NFL players. And these guys are now going to use that experience that they have now on the field, but that's what the coaching that Coach Shiano and that staff is going to bring to them. They're going to have to be leading the field. They're going to be getting everyone lined up. And we're going to see aggressive, hard hitting, playing everyone, setting the edge on defense, coming up, making huge plays. I'm very excited to see this defense out there, especially those DBs that now have experience. How we were always talking so much, Chris, on how they were young and they were going to get there. Well, now they're here.
And speaking of Coach Shiano, we will visit with him for the first time in just a moment. So stay with us. We're just getting rolling as Rutgers kicking off the 2020 season in East Lansing, Michigan on Saturday against the Spartans of Michigan State. Stay with us. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
We return to the Rutgers Football Podcast. It is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. Chris Carlin, joined by the head coach of the Scarlet Knights. And boy, it feels great to say that again. He is Greg Schiano, and it feels like yesterday was December 4th, but a wise man once said, Coach, don't wish the time away. And I'm sure for you, in a lot of ways, especially all the challenges we've faced, it's kind of flown by to a degree.
Yeah, it has. It's been a blur, Chris. But it's great to be back. It feels like yesterday we were doing this, and that would have been, what, 2011. So that's a minute. But great to be back. Great to be with you. And look forward to some great years ahead.
Well, let's talk about the last few months, Coach, and we all know how difficult COVID-19 has been for everybody, but what have been the biggest challenges that you have faced in implementing everything you want to in your program?
Well, really, it's countless. I mean, from trying to get here and really install the culture of the program, and then being, you know, we go away on spring break, never to come back. Then we come back in June, and then we have our own issues. And then the season gets postponed, and then the season's back on. It has been a roller coaster, to say the least. The constant is our players. They've been great. They, you know, not all of them have stuck around. Some guys chose that this wasn't what was for them. But the guys who have stayed, been unbelievable. Their work ethic, the way they've tried to do things, the way we ask, and the staff. I really enjoy those guys. They're doing a tremendous job as well, and not under easy circumstance. You know, the protocols and procedures that are necessary to even have a chance. I mean, the scary thing is you can do everything right and still get sick. So we're trying, but, I know we're swimming upstream, as is everybody else, but we're going to try our hardest, and we look forward to getting started here in a few days with our 2020 season.
You know, I know in a lot of ways the word discipline means just so much to a football coach, but it's really taken it to a whole new level. Has that in a way really helped, having to maintain this constant discipline for your team, for these players, helped prepare them for the season?
You know, I don't know if it's helped prepare, Chris, but it's helped reveal a lot of things to us, right? It's definitely been an accelerator in that way. And sometimes when you're a new staff, it takes a while to figure out who's really who. I think this COVID-19 has helped us figure that out maybe a little faster than we would have otherwise.
Let's talk about preparing now to actually getting here the last few weeks, what it's been like. You had effusive praise for your team a minute ago. Take us through some of the aspects that have really impressed you the most about them.
Well, we certainly had our growing pains, right, with this COVID thing. I tell the team every day, our number one opponent is COVID-19 because, you know, if we don't pay attention and really stay vigilant, we're not going to have, we don't have, you know, great depth in our program right now. So if certain guys were to fall ill or certain coaches were to fall ill, it'd be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding as it is. So number one, first and foremost, is we got to attack this thing. And I think our guys do as good a job as anybody, you know, in the country. But the reality is you got to live life, too. And they're students, and they're trying to do things that are required of them that way. I mean, it's, as you know, it's no different than anybody else. As simple as getting a haircut or going to get a suit for the trip. You know, you never know what you're going to run into. So I think we've educated our guys and educated ourselves as we've learned, right? There's been a ton to learn with this deal. And our guys are trying to do everything they can. So, and that's because they want to play football. They want to have this 2020 season. And I hope that they get to do it as healthy as possible.
On the field, what have you seen over the last few weeks that has you excited, that has you encouraged for 2020?
Well, they're playing very hard. They're picking up on the schemes that we're presenting. Technique, you know, it's been really choppy. You know, you go for a little bit, then you have this stall. You go for a little bit. Now, this has been the longest stretch in preparation for this game, but it's different. You know, training camp, that's all that's going on. When you're in training camp in August, there's no school. They're here for one purpose. There's no social life. It's all about football. To try to run a any kind of hyphenated training camp during school while they're in the semester, very, very difficult. And so I think it's been hard for everybody, but we're not alone. I mean, in our league, everybody, nobody had training camp. So, you know, we're figuring it out as we go. But on the field, the guys are working hard. They're playing hard. They're practicing hard. And, you know, the good thing is we have a few days we get to go play another team and figure out where we stand.
Coach, how quickly has the cohesion formed within your staff?
Well, I think pretty quickly, because we have a good mix of people that have been together in the past and some of them together here at Rutgers, and then a new mix of some of our former players that are now getting into coaching, which is really exciting for me, and then some guys that we haven't worked with. And I think when there's that mix, you know, not everything has to come from the head coach, like this is the way we do it. Some guys are familiar, can help the guys that aren't as familiar, because it's not X's and O's or techniques. That's really not the issue. It's more about logistics, more about how practice is run, how recruiting is done, you know, the kind of procedures that go along with everything, where I think they can help each other, and they have.
You know, Coach, when you have a new staff working with these players and getting to know them, what are the most important aspects of that process of players and coaches becoming acclimated with one another and how they like to work?
Well, I think first and foremost is the connection. You know, assistant coaches have a unique bond with their players. They get to spend so much time together. And, you know, those assistant coaches are not only teaching them football, but they're mentoring them as young men. They're mentoring them as student athletes. And in that area, you know, where they are, you know, when they get in that meeting room, just the coach, maybe a GA or an assistant, and then, you know, 10 or 12 players, that's really an intimate group that communicates at another level and really does a deep dive on each other's lives. As you get bigger and bigger, those meetings are less and less intimate, less and less personal, and more team-wide or procedural. So I think that's number one, is the assistant coaches have done a great job of connecting with their players on a personal level. And I think that's critical, right? The old saying, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And our guys, you know, I think that's genuine. They're not doing it to serve a means to an end. We hired men that generally care about young people and want to see them develop.
In just a few minutes, we're going to be answering some of your questions for Coach each week. You can send them on Twitter with the hashtag RFootballPodcast. Now, you know, when you talk about the bonding among the players, you've got a lot of new players here that haven't been here in the past. So whether it's between freshmen, transfers, all that, how have you seen the team come together just as a group socially?
You know, I think, well, we've done some team building exercises, but I don't know. You know, I think COVID-19, as much as it has separated us, it's been an incredible team building exercise, because the sacrifices that each man has to make for the good of the group is really, they're really, really large. As you know, it's no different than in your daily life. Some of the things that you used to take for granted, you just can't do anymore. So I think there's that cohesion when you all have a common enemy, a common opponent, and certainly we do right now.
With facing a team like Michigan State to start the season, a challenge to go out on the road, I know there's never, a coach never has what they feel like is enough time to prepare, but do you feel like you're really going to be at that point where you're ready to go come Saturday?
No, but I don't think anybody's going to be right. I mean, nobody had training camp. No, very few, you know, a couple schools had spring practice or half a spring. We had zero spring practices. So no, we're not going to be where we need to be, but I don't know if they will either. Right. And to me, what does it matter? We're going to have a game. It's fun to play a game. You know, these kids need a game. These coaches need a game. Our fans need a game. This school needs a game. We need to have something to get excited about. And hopefully we can serve, you know, that to many people.
All right, we'll take our first time out with Coach. We'll come back, and we will answer your questions for head coach Greg Schiano. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast, brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. We have returned. More with Coach Schiano here on the Rutgers Football Podcast. And Coach, let's get to some of the questions that fans have sent in throughout the week with the hashtag RFootballPodcast. You can send them every week and we will get them in. First one comes in from Steve, and it is quite simply, what excites you the most about being back on the banks?
Oh, I just think being with the players and the coaches. There's a certain bond when you're a coach and when you're a head coach, you know, being in charge of all of them. You know, you're responsible for everyone in this building. And, you know, some people enjoy that, and other people that would seem like a nightmare. To me, I really enjoy it. I enjoy the relationships. I enjoy the inner workings, how everything has to fit and time out correctly. To me, that is that's a challenge that's exciting.
Neil wants to know, Coach, will not having any fans at games impact the way that you communicate with players on the field? Will it change anything about the way that you coach the game?
You know what? That's a great question. And certainly I've never done it. I've talked to some people that have done it. Definitely easier to communicate with your team. You know, they can hear anything you yell out there. So can the other team hear it, though. So you got to be careful. You know, there's going to be some differences. And as I've told the team, you know, we've had a couple scrimmages and we've been in the stadium. And I said, look around, guys, because this is what's going to be like on game day. There's no different. You know, we had the same music pumping in. We had the background crowd noise that you see on the NFL games. It's all going to be the same. You know, in our league, at least, there's some other leagues where they're allowing more people in and that kind of stuff. But in the Big Ten Conference, you know, there's not going to be many people. There'll be some, but there's not going to be many people in the stadium. So it'll be definitely different. But again, I just think every one of these players and coaches is dying to go play a game. So however we can do it, you know, we set out to find a way to play, and we were able to do it. Thank goodness.
DY wants to know, Coach, how would you compare and contrast your coaching staff from your very first year back in 2001 to this year, your first year back?
Well, you know, I've loved all the staffs we've had here at Rutgers, but I think what Rutgers has afforded us to do is build out a legitimate Big Ten coaching staff. And I don't just mean the 10 assistant coaches, but I mean support staff, not only graduate assistants, but quality control coaches, people in the recruiting area, people in the marketing and branding area, right? So much of the visual, you know, all the video stuff that you do, all the edits that you do. It's such a bigger operation now in 2020 than it used to be. So, you know, but with every time you get larger, it challenges you more to stay vertically aligned. And that's what we really put an emphasis on is, you know, our culture is throughout the building. It doesn't matter if you're the head coach, or you're the person who's loading the truck to go on the road. We all live and operate by the same culture.
You know, this is kind of a follow-up to that. It goes back to what you were talking about earlier about having some of your former players on staff. What impact can that have when you have Tyquan Underwood, when you have Scott Vallone, guys like that, in their teaching to players in that they've been in that exact same situation that those guys are in right now?
Unbelievable. It's awesome. And you're right. It's the exact same situation with the same maniac as the head coach, right? I mean, they can explain to the players why coach is doing this. Just today, you know, Mason Robinson was, I forget what, you know, he's working in the strength room and he was out on the practice field getting the guys ready to go. And just his energy and Caleb was out there, you know, and he was, those guys, I mean, they just bring such energy and passion. And I think they would do it no matter where they were coaching. But the fact that they're doing it at Rutgers, I mean, I look all around. There's you know, Damaso's here and Westy, and you said it. Ty's got the wideouts and Scotty. And I mean, you just go down the list. Charlie, all those guys are all doing an unbelievable job. And it makes me proud that, number one, they wanted to go into coaching, that's something that they aspired to do. And number two, the kind of men that they've become. You know, I look at their families and their girlfriends and the way they live their life. There's no better thing you can share with a recruit and his parents than, you know, these are the guys right here. This is what this program develops.
A couple of more from our fans on Twitter. Again, it's hashtag our football podcast for next week. We'll get them in. Dave wants to know, Coach, what has impressed you the most about your freshman class?
They love football. Yeah, you know, that's always been my thing, Chris, if you remember back to our first go around. Talent is important. There's no doubt. We're not going to recruit a guy who doesn't have a talent level. But there's a lot of talented guys that don't love the game, and we're not going to ever sacrifice that. Now, sometimes you get fooled, but I've had some conversations with recruits. I think they hang up the phone and say, is that guy serious? And I am. I really don't care. You know, we're going to have guys that love the game and that are willing to live by our culture. And if that's what you want, there's no better place in America to go to school and play football. But if that's what you don't, and it's not really what you want, this could be torturous, right? So, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just who we are. And we're very clear about it. And the way we recruit is laser vision on the guys we want. We don't worry about who else is recruiting them. We go after our guys. Some of them are 5 stars and some of them are 2 stars. And I really don't care. They're our guys. They fit us.
Is it still the first question to ask him? Do you love football?
You know what? Now we've gotten a little smarter than that, because what's a kid going to say? Nah, coach, I really don't love it. Now we kind of circle it a little bit. We've gotten a little more crafty in our old age.
Gotcha. All right. Mary wants to know, coach, was there a turning point the first time that you were at Rutgers where you knew the program was getting around that corner?
There were a few. You know, I think that game where we beat Syracuse, the final game of the season in 03, I thought that was a big step. I thought winning that Michigan State game in 04 was a big step. I think the one that really turned the tide is that Vanderbilt win on the road, down a bunch of points, and a bunch of kids just kept fighting and believing, and on the road came back to win a game that probably we shouldn't have won. And I think that's where guys really bought in. But there's been a lot of turning points in that first journey, because we had so far to go.
Remember that night well against a guy named Jay Cutler, by the way, who was a pretty good quarterback.
Was he over the line or not?
Coach, he was over the line.
That's what they called it.
All I know is you could not have timed you in a 40 to see how fast you got toward the official. You would have blown away any record that there was, but that flag dropped and he was over the line. Two last ones from me, coach. First of all, I know how much it meant for you personally earlier this week, knowing that C. Vivian Stringer and Bob Mulcahy were getting inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Just the impact that the two of them had for you, what has that meant?
Well, it's tremendous. And I think you know how I feel about both of those people. One, Bob was a partner in building this thing. And I have the utmost respect for he and his family. They literally were family to me and still are. And he did so much for this football program. And it was all behind the scenes. Bob wasn't a guy that had to be out front and, you know, getting the credit. He just worked his tail off to try to do what we needed to do to get done what we did. And forever, you know, he's a partner. See, Viv, man, he's one of the people that I really look up to in this business. She is as good and fundamentally sound, and the character and the beliefs of her program, very, very similar to ours. And I love watching her work. I love watching her coach. She is she's special. And I mean, look at all the success. Obviously, it's an understatement, but it was really, really good. This was good. You know, Eric's 10-year anniversary on Friday, Sunday, those two going into the Hall of Fame. You know, it was great to see. I got to see Eric Thursday night, and it was great to see him. It's been a bit. And man, he's ready to roll. Now you better watch out, because he is fired up to do these radio games. So he told me, he said, I got to get Carlin. Now Carlin's not going to be sitting next to me, so he ain't going to give me that evil eye that he gives me. I said, all right. They call me. You better not cut up your old coach too much.
I don't think you have to worry about that. I don't think you have to worry about that at all. He is as sharp as a tack at getting it done in the broadcast booth as usual. And, you know, this is one that I'll ask. And I frankly, I'm asking because I know I would have gotten a different answer 10 years ago or an answer that I would have expected. But I'll ask it this time around. Will there be anything different for you just in the moment that you take that team on the field on Saturday? Will you take that second, or is it just all business from the get-go?
No, I've learned to take some moments. You know, unfortunately, in that first go-around, I really didn't get to enjoy much of what we did. I've learned, I mean, I'm still very driven and still very focused, but I've learned to enjoy some of the time with the players. I love being able to sit in my office and just visit with them and, you know, peel the onion away a little bit and find out what's really going on in their life. And that goes with the game as well. You know, I'm still tough on them at practice and demanding and all that, but I try to do it with them too. You know, I guess it's being 54 instead of 34, Chris, but I try to kind of point out some things that can help them a little bit more as they go forward in life. And quite honestly, I enjoy that. So, you know, at this stage of my career, I'm going to enjoy some things. But we got a big job to do. So it doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to take any time off. It just means maybe a little different positioning on the priorities.
All right, Coach. Good luck on Saturday. Great to have you back. We're all looking forward to it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great, Chris. Great to be back. Thank you.
We'll return with more with Eric in just a moment. Stay with us. This is the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
So many new faces on the Scarlet Knights this season as we return to the Rutgers Football Podcast. Chris Carlin, joined by, of course, Eric LeGrand. And one of those new faces is safety Brendan White, who is with us. And our interview with Brendan today is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics and New Jersey's most comprehensive healthcare system. To learn more, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. First of all, Brendan, welcome to Rutgers. After transferring from Ohio State this offseason, how has it all been for you so far?
The transition has been well. It's been kind of easy, too, just because the guys on the team, you know, they let me in with open arms. And, you know, being able to come here and play for a guy like Coach Ciano when he was coaching me at Ohio State is just a dream come true, and it's definitely a blessing.
And what is that like coming from another university? You know, you have your friends and your teammates at Ohio State, and then you come to another program like Rutgers, and you said that they welcomed you with open arms, but what is that like now, you know, making new friends here at a different university?
I think that's what the game of football brings. You know, it allows you to meet new people, you know, make those new friendships, and that's what happened when I came from Ohio State to Rutgers, and I'm definitely thankful for it, and I'm grateful for it.
You know, Brendan, you're in a unique position in that you have played for this coach before where your teammates really haven't. What have you told them about what to expect from Coach Ciano?
You know, just he wants your all, you know. He's going to push you to be the very best you can be. And at the end of the day, too, he wants what's best for you, not only within football but outside of football. You know, he cares about your life and, you know, how you carry yourself outside of football and outside of, you know, between those lines. And so that's definitely something that not only me, but I definitely can see other guys on the team have noticed. And we know that he cares for us, and we're bigger than just football players to him.
And what is it like now taking that leadership role and the responsibilities that it has brought in along? As Chris just mentioned, you played under Coach Ciano before, you know what it's like, and now you get to bring that over to these guys who haven't. What is it like being a leader of this team and going places where this program is dreaming to go to? You have been there before.
So being a leader, you know, it comes with consequences. You know, it comes with the ups and downs and stuff like that. So me being able to just always come in with a positive attitude, always being prepared, you know, and always having that up energy, you know, just allowing my guys to know that, hey, you know, the Big Ten's not easy to, you know, it's not an easy conference to win games. And, you know, we have a new team, new staff, new faces and stuff like that. And so I just kind of tell them, you know, just to, you know, forget about last year and all the other years before that and just focus on the 2020 season and take it one game at a time.
Brendan White, one of the newest Scarlet Knights, joining us on the Rutgers Football Podcast this week. Brendan, if your name sounds familiar to everybody in the tri-state area, it's because you were the 2019 Rose Bowl defensive MVP, making plays all over the place with two tackles for loss and an interception late in that game against Jake Browning to help seal the win. You know, when you're able to do it on the biggest stage of all and you can share that experience with your new teammates, what do you tell them about that?
You know, hard work pays off, you know, and never, you know, no one can ever tell you can't do something. You know, you can, anytime you put your mind to, you know, you can do it. And, you know, I had my mindset that I feel like I could have done that, and I did that. And now it's, I think it's my job, you know, to show my teammates here, you know, that they can do that too. And they can be in my shoes and do the same thing I did, you know. Everybody has the same abilities as me. And so the biggest things out there is have confidence in yourself, have preparation, and go out there and believe in yourself.
2020 has been a whirlwind for all of us, just to say. It's been so crazy, you know, never know what's going to happen next. What would you say, I guess, you have taken away from this period of, you know, not having a spring ball, not knowing if you're going to have a season, to now training camp is mixed training camp, now practice in school and having to balance that? What would you say you've taken away mostly from all of this chaos?
I would say the biggest thing is what Coach Ciano teaches us, and that's FTC, you know, Family Trust Chop. And the biggest thing is, you know, chop, you know, just staying in the moment, you know, chopping on that spot in the tree, you know, just staying focused. I think the biggest thing, you know, for me is not being able to, you know, think about what's going to happen down the road or, you know, what happened if we were going to have a season or not. And the biggest thing was I was just sitting in the moment, you know, waiting in the moment. And whatever that was in front of me at that time, I was focusing on that and I wasn't focusing on anything else. So I would definitely say the FTC and CHOP is definitely something that we all, you know, as Rutgers football players here, have taken to heart and believe that it works.
Hey, Chris, I got to say, Chris, it's nice to hear the terminology again, man. It's nice to hear the terminology again, the CHOP. It's back.
Love it.
There's no question about that. I mean, we have seen it all over the state since last December when Coach returned, and it is great to see, no doubt. Brendan, take me back to growing up. You know, you're growing up in Ohio, and you're involved in sports. What were the different sports you were involved in? What was the experience like?
So I grew up, first sport I played was football. My dad, I was fortunate to have my dad, he played for Ohio State for 4 years and then was able to play in the NFL for 11 years. So growing up, football was always the game I loved. But the other sports as well, I played all sports. You know, I played baseball, soccer, lacrosse, any sport you could think of, I was trying to play it. But going into high school is when I started to, you know, lower down the sports and focus on either one or two, just because I knew I had the ability to one day be able to play in a college atmosphere. And so I decided to stick to football, and I started getting scholarships my sophomore year, and then from there it kind of took off.
And I know you've been in New Jersey now. You probably haven't been able to explore it as much as you like because obviously the pandemic and everything, but what has been some of the great things that you've been able to so far experience in New Jersey?
I think the biggest thing for me is just being able to know that I could go somewhere else, you know, without being afraid, you know. The biggest thing for me was I've never been away from home. So me coming to Rutgers, you know, it's 500 miles from where I stay. And so I'm kind of glad and, you know, happy for myself. And I give thanks to the man above, you know, giving me the strength and the ability, you know, to stay here and be able to not be homesick all the time. And, you know, when I need people, I can go to Coach Gianna, I can go to my teammates. So just being able to be blessed with an atmosphere like Rutgers University, it definitely made the trip here easier.
Brendan White, Rutgers senior defensive back, starter at safety, joining us here. And Brendan, when you think back about the impact, you mentioned your father, who played the same position, you know, in the NFL, defensive back, 20 career interceptions over 11 seasons with the Lions, the Chiefs, the Falcons. How did he coach you? How does he continue to coach you? What influence does he have on you on the field and off?
The biggest thing he has for me and what he's taught me is hit with your head up, you know, see what you hit. That's the biggest thing he's taught me, and I've taken that from Pee Wee football all the way up to now, you know. So just being able to see what I hit is one of the biggest things he's taught me. But other than that, too, is having that confidence in yourself and knowing that you're not going to make every play. And, you know, when you do have a bad play, you can't think about that bad play. You got to move on to the next play because your team, you know, your team needs you. And when you're a leader, you can't be the one who, you know, worries about, you know, the plays that you messed up on. You just got to keep going to the next play and chopping.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a few years now. I'd love to bring this up. We got to talk about food. We love to talk about our food, especially here in New Jersey. We got a lot of great food. So far, what have you been able to experience that you really, really enjoy, or your favorite restaurant on campus that, you know, maybe something that you didn't have in Ohio?
So actually, the food spot that I go to here a lot, we do have in Ohio, and you may be shocked or not, but I go to Chipotle every day. Chipotle is my go-to. So I go there. I go there about four times a week, definitely. Chipotle is my go-to. But other than that, I like Benihana. I've been at Cheesecake Factory at Menlo Mall. And I like Chick-fil-A, but I would say my go-to has always been Chipotle. I can just never go wrong.
Really?
Chipotle.
What do you get from there? What do you get from Chipotle?
I'll get the bowl with white rice, chicken, sour cream, cheese, and lettuce, and then I'll get three soft tacos with white rice, barbacoa, and cheese and sour cream. Yeah.
That's a solid order right there. That's not disappointing. So you're a chain guy. You like going to the chain type places. That's kind of your go-to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, have you been able to experience, as bizarre as it all has been, have you been able to get to any of the local spots as of yet?
I have not, but I've been able to visit Jersey City. I've been there before. Where else? I've been to New York a few times. But other than that, I haven't really been able to just explore just because of the COVID and stuff like that. We're just trying to stay safe and have that safe bubble environment. So I really haven't been able to explore as much, but I mean, I'm glad I'm here. New York was a blast. So
I would say when you ever get a chance, you obviously coming up on a winter time, you got to experience the Jersey Shore. You got to get some of the boardwalk food. And Chris, I'm happy to say, I don't know if you tried it yet, Brendan, but I had Diesel and Dukes.
Oh, yes.
What is that? Disappoint.
Diesel Dukes is a perfect spot. Yeah,
it's a local spot.
Ask a lot of your teammates who have been around about it, because it is tremendous right in town.
What are they known for?
It's a burger joint. It's a burger joint.
Okay.
And I had it last week. I'm telling you, actually a week from today, and it was fantastic.
Now, can I throw like a fried egg and some bacon on there too?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, perfect.
Oh yeah.
That may be a
good
spot. Yeah,
I like where your head is at, bro. You know what you like. I like this.
Hey, Brendan, when you're not playing football, are you a Netflix guy? Are you a PlayStation guy? Like, what do you like to do in your free time?
So actually, when I got here, I just bought a PlayStation because so many of my teammates played it. So I'm just kind of starting to get into the hang of things a little bit. But I'm more of a Netflix. I have YouTube TV, so I watch a lot of Sports Center. I'll try to watch movies when I can, stuff like that. But also, most of the time after practice and stuff like that, I try to hang out with my teammates more, you know, try to get to know them better. You know, I feel like when you have a relationship with your teammates off the field, on the field, it just makes the play so much easier because you know much more about them and you know what they're thinking and stuff like that, just because of the bond that you can make with one another off the field.
Hey, Brendan, I would love to talk to you about this because I feel like it's suitable for the times that we're living in. You think about it, you're 18 to 22 years old as a college athlete, you know. You come in here, you're supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. Now you get hit with a pandemic where things change for you, obviously. You can't see as many people, you can't experience as many things. Can you talk about the discipline that it takes for a student athlete to make sure you're doing the right things, one, to keep yourself healthy, keep yourself safe, but also having to juggle now virtual schedules, not knowing when, if you're going to have a season, all this stuff. Talk about the discipline that it takes from an 18 to 22-year-old and how fast you have to grow up dealing with this.
I think the biggest thing is being able to have the wisdom and knowledge to know that you don't know everything. And so in times like this, it's better to go to the older people because, you know, they've been around, not stuff like this before, but they've been around something that it could be similar to it. So being able to get the advice from older people, you know, and follow their lead and follow their directions, and then from there, just kind of build on that, you know. I think that's one of the biggest things I've tried to do, as well as, you know, like I said before, chop in the moment, just focusing on one thing at a time, not focusing on, you know, we're going to have a season, like I said earlier, or this and that. So I would say really just, you know, being locked in on what the coaches are saying, what the older generation is saying for us to follow and stuff like that. Because at a time like this, especially for a freshman, you know, even if we didn't have the pandemic, most freshmen, it's kind of confusing being a student athlete as a freshman, you know, because you're not used to all the class schedules and all the workouts in the morning and then the practice and stuff like that. So just right there by itself is definitely difficult. But being able to have a coach, you know, like Coach Yano and this coaching staff, being able to teach us the certain ways of how to handle it definitely helps us. And, you know, like I said earlier, if you just have that knowledge and wisdom to be able to have open ears, you know, and being able to listen and follow directions, it definitely made the process easier.
Brendan, you talked about this a little bit earlier, but just expand on it if you could. What really made Rutgers the right spot for you in addition to coach?
So I knew my eligibility status. I had 1 year left. And, you know, being able to – because me and Shiano, we had ups and downs. My freshman year, we butted heads a lot. But I was towards the end of my freshman year is when we started to really connect together. And when I found out that I was going to have to enter myself in the transfer portal, I got that call from Coach Shiano, and I knew right then and there, I was like, oh, yeah, this is definitely a sign from God telling me, you know, I need to go there with him and be a part of his team again. So I was definitely excited. I was definitely grateful, and I'm thankful that I was able to, you know, come to a place like Rutgers and be able to be coached by one of the best coaches, I think, in the country, and that's Coach Shiano.
And you have, as you mentioned, a lot of the coaches that are back there, and a lot of coaches that I played under, a lot of people that I played with. What is it actually like knowing that you have some of the coaches on staff that actually played here under Shiano, like Scott Below, Damaso Munoz, Jabal Westerman? What's it like having those guys under there coaching you guys up there?
It's definitely cool because they probably know more than what we do about Coach Shiano and just the program. They've been around a winning program before. They know what winning feels like here, you know, at Rutgers. And so just being able to have those coaches there with us, you know, being able to give us those tips and this and that, and just being able to tell us, you know, what to do and stuff like that definitely keeps us on edge and keeps us a step ahead of the game.
What's got you so excited for this season before we let you go, Brandon?
I would say we got a lot to prove. We're definitely excited. This is definitely a new team, a fresh team. This is not the same Rutgers team that you've seen before, and I'm just excited to get out there with my family, my brothers, and just go out there and show the world what we're really about, what we've been working on.
I want to wish you good luck, my man. It sounds like you got your head on straight and you're ready to attack this season, man, and I'm excited to see you go out there and play.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Brendan White, safety for the Scarlet Knights. Going to be a lot of fun come Saturday. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate Brendan joining us. We'll have more in just a moment. We'll talk about this week's matchup with Michigan State. Stay with us. It is the Rutgers Football Podcast. It is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. Rutgers gearing up for Michigan State this Saturday as Eric and I return on the Rutgers Football Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. So noon kickoff for the Scarlet Knights against the Spartans. And look, Eric, in a lot of ways, nobody really knows what to expect from anyone, considering everyone's in the same boat. So with that being the case, if you're a player and you're going into this, what are you thinking, understanding that you haven't had nearly the amount of time that you normally would to prepare for a season opener?
Well, you know, you're on the same playing field as everyone else. That's the best thing. It's not like one team got that opportunity and you didn't. You're pretty much on the same playing field as everyone else. So whatever you do, what are you doing extra now to prepare yourself? Everyone obviously is doing the same thing, the amount of time that they allow with the coaching and the practicing and the weight room sessions. So what are you doing extra now that's going to separate you or give you that edge over your opponent now? Whether that's extra time during the film in the film room, extra time in the weight room if you got to get stronger. Extra reps after when practice is over, the ice tubs, because these are all the little things that lead up into game week and get your body and your mind ready for the season. Because like I said, everyone has those allocated hours that they're allowed throughout the week or whatever it is leading up to a game. But what are you going to do extra that's going to separate you and allows you to go out there on Saturday and perform at an elite level each and every play?
All right, let's talk offense first. What are you looking for here on Saturday? We're not going to know who the starting quarterback is right up until he trots out onto the field. But what we do know is there's a pretty solid stable of running backs, Aaron Young backing up, the Isaiah Pacheco, as well as K'Ron Adams, guys who have experience, the tight ends with experience, the receivers with experience. What are you looking for offensively?
Offensively, I'm looking for them to try to get that running game going, establish a run game. That way, when you can establish the run game, you bring that safety in the box a little bit. It allows your quarterback to now do those little get your one-on-one matchups and have him get confidence throwing those little five-yard out routes, screen passes, just to get him in the rhythm of the game, get him to understand the game, maybe go back to a run. And then as that starts to progress, then I think they see you start pushing the ball down the field and trying to get, you know, some of those big chunk plays they're going to need, because they haven't had many over the past 2 years. But when you're playing in the Big Ten Conference, yes, I know it's ground and pound, everyone likes that old school style, but nowadays you need those big chunk plays that allow you to get momentum and be able to put 6 points on the board. You can't always have 3 points only.
How about defensively? At times last year, that looked like that there were some strides made in terms of the personnel.
There is. These players have gotten better. They've got some transfers in as well. Looks like the whole D-line has almost revamped and everything, but I'm excited because I know Coach Chiano, this is what he focuses on. This is his bread and butter defense. I know the calls that they're probably being. I wonder if he's calling them the same names that I remember them from, but that's going to be the best part about it is when I see them shift and they're going into certain plays, I'm going to know and anticipate, all right, this is about to happen or that's about to happen, but best believe these guys are going to be playing a hard-nosed football. They're going to be tackling guys through the ground. And we're going to be looking for turnovers, Chris. Turnovers. We haven't been able to have too many of those over the past, you know, few years. We need turnovers to change the momentum of games.
Special teams. Coach called him probably the best punter in the country. We know the impact that Adam Korsak can have in pinning teams deep. It still, to me, it still bugs me that he wasn't the Big Ten punter of the year. And this is a guy who was a finalist for the Ray Guy Award and was just pinpoint with everything he did. Field position can be big, but he, you know, you're talking about turnovers. I'm wondering if we're going to start to see some of that aggressiveness back in terms of going after blocking kicks. It's a little bit different these days when you have as many kicks, as many punters as you do who roll out before they kick, and it's protected differently. I wonder how Rutgers is going to attack that. Is their philosophy going to be any different there?
No. If I know Coach the way I know Coach, he'll have every type of punt that there is, whatever that team does. You know, when they can prep for it and they can prepare for it each week, what they put on tape, he will have something for it to attack it. It's just the way he is and the way that we always were when I was there. We always had a way that you attack this punt or that type of punt in all these different ways. I know that you said there's probably a little bit more than there was when I was playing, you know, 10 years ago or so. But there's still always ways that you're going to attack a certain punt. So I don't see them lighting up on that. And having Adam back there to kick the ball and put them in great field positions, as I was just mentioned. Imagine you have him pin them inside the 10-yard line. You go out there, you get a turnover inside the. You're already in your red zone. Boom. Those are the momentum plays that we're going to be needing for Scarlet Knights this year if they want to be successful.
Well, E, looking forward to it. Kickoff right around the corner with the Scarlet Knights and the Michigan State Spartans Saturday at 12 noon, 11 a.m. for the pregame show on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. It'll be Mark Melusis and Eric LeGrand bringing you the pregame show. And then myself, Ray Lucas, and Anthony Fusilli will be in East Lansing for the call on the radio as well. The game will be on BTN. So make sure that you are with us all day long as we start out the 2020 Rutgers football season. E, we'll talk to you on Saturday and, of course, next week as well here on the Rutgers Football Podcast. Great stuff, bud.
Sounds good. I'm excited. We're finally here.
Our thanks to Mark D'Agostino and Colin Osborne for helping to make this happen. We will see you Saturday at noon. It's Rutgers and Michigan State. This has been the Rutgers Football Podcast, presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics. Have a great weekend, everybody.